You're listening to Proof to Product, and this is episode 3. We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business. Hey, everybody. I'm Katie Hunt, the founder of Trade Show Bootcamp, and welcome to Proof to Product. On today's episode, I'm interviewing Lindsay Henry, the founder and creative director of Inklings Papery. She opened up shop in 2011 via Etsy, launched the wholesale market in 2015, and her paper products and party goods can now be found in more than 200 retail shops, including Target, Paper Source, and Anthropologie. On this episode, we'll talk about creating an excellent client experience, slow but thoughtful growth, and why both of us need to make more time for self-care. Hey, Lindsay, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
It's fun to have you. So before becoming a small business owner in 2011, you worked as a freelance designer and also a brand strategist for both nonprofits and also some pretty big global brands. What led you to start Inklings Papery?
Yeah, so it was kind of an interesting story. Around 2010, I was working on a client job, and there was like a large space in the margins of a press sheet that we were sending to print. And so I decided to design some little cards in the margins rather than having them trimmed off and thrown away. And that's kind of how I say Inklings began. But really, there's part of the story that I don't talk about too much. But really, I decided to open up a little Etsy shop to sell the cards. And they sat there for like a year and didn't do anything. And so that's the part of the story I always edit out for the sake of time. But I think it's relevant to this podcast because it's kind of part of our story that we weren't necessarily an overnight success. So I continued as a brand designer. And then, you know, a few years later, I did some cards for a close friend's baby shower, like a little card game. And I had some extra cards. I put them up in our Etsy shop. And then within days, people started contacting us and asking us, you know, if we had them in different colors and different designs. And that's kind of when things really started to take off.
So when you had your Etsy shop, you mostly did custom or personalized work for people. It wasn't off the shelf products like you carry in your wholesale line now. At what point in your business did you kind of make that transition to start to do more off the shelf greeting cards and other gift items?
Well, when we really were listening to customers who were seeing the work that we had in our shop, they kept asking us if we had them in different designs or different colorways. And so we really kind of grew the business based on listening to those customers' requests and hearing what they were looking for. And it really kind of grew organically from there.
I love that. I love it. I think there's so much to be gathered from your customers, not just in their buying habits and their buying styles, but also the feedback that they're actually giving you. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
So I've really enjoyed, well, actually, let me back up to your story a little bit more. At what point, you started your Etsy shop, you kind of let it hang out for a bit. To be honest with you, I did the same thing. I didn't know what to do with it for a while, you know, and I also wasn't sure which direction I wanted to take my business. Did I want to go in wholesale? Did I want to focus on retail? Did I want to focus on more of the custom client that needed one-off type of invitations or things like that? And so my story is similar. But how did you decide, or when rather, did you decide that wholesale was something that you wanted to pursue?
Well, it kind of pursued us. Like, we had the Etsy shop, it was really starting to gain traction. And then we started to have stores contacting us, asking us if we had a wholesale kind of program. And nice. So we said yes. And then we decided, okay, let's figure this out. So it really kind of, for a few years, it really just grew out of people who were finding us and contacting us. But we really weren't intentional about reaching out to those stores. It was more responding to those inquiries. It wasn't until about 2015 when we really decided to say, hey, this wholesale thing is, there's really something there. Let's be more intentional about that with our own business. And that's when we decided to walk the National Stationery Show and really kind of look at where we fit into the grand scheme of things and asking those questions of, is this a good fit for us? And not long after that, I met you at the Trade Show Bootcamp booth there, and it kind of took off from there.
That's awesome. I love that you talked about wanting to walk the show before actually exhibiting so that you could kind of gauge the market and see where you fit into the market, because that's a huge point that I think people really need to hear. And so I'd like to, if you're okay talking about that a little bit more, having a unique point of view within your product offerings and having a distinctive aesthetic is really important. And I think you've done, I know you've done an excellent job of that. You've really built great brand visibility for your company. How do you prioritize that when you're wearing so many other hats as a business owner?
There's a lot of prioritization that has to happen. And I think I still struggle with that because as a small business owner, you wear a lot of hats. But I think your brand, having a good sense of your brand and your aesthetic and kind of where you fit into the grand scheme of things is the most important thing beyond just making, you know, pretty products. It's about kind of understanding your purpose and your story and kind of what makes you unique. And so because I had a background in brand design, I could kind of ask some of those big questions as we were starting to grow the business. And I think it really helped inform our product line and inform our kind of our tone of voice and how we approach our kind of our marketing.
I agree. I think it comes across from the outside perspective as very cohesive, very thought through, and very intentional. So I really applaud you on that. It looks beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it resonates through, you know, your everything, your catalogs, your website, your photos, all of it. So, and your products, of course, too. But
thanks.
Yes, of course. So you are currently working with over 200 retailers, which is pretty big considering you just jumped into wholesale in 2015. And you're even working with some big names like Target, Paper Source, and Anthropologie. So one, congratulations on that growth. That's amazing. Yeah. But, you know, what do you attribute the success to? Does this tie back into the branding and the product development that you were talking about a few minutes ago?
I really think that it has to do with kind of a focus in our branding and in our product line. And kind of we really tried to focus on that. And before we really jumped into wholesale, just really understanding who we were and understanding our customers too. I think having our beginnings on Etsy was really great because there were everyday conversations with customers. And so we could really understand them and understand kind of what needs we could meet through our product line. But really some of the bigger buyers we didn't have a chance to get in front of until we did the National Stationery Show last year. And that was when we were able to meet the buyer for Target and for Paper Source. And really it opened a lot of great doors for us just by being there and being present.
That's awesome. You know, one of the big things I talk about at boot camp is that a couple of things. One, if people choose to do shows, that's a very personal decision based on their own circumstances, financial situation, and what their goals are for the business. But I also tell them that they can't measure the success or the, you know, return on investment of a show simply by the number of orders that they receive at that show, because there's so many other contributing factors and there's a lot of non-quantifiable things attributes that come from these shows. Do you mind sharing a few things that came out of these shows that you may not have done or experienced had you not been at that show?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you get a lot of great press exposure being a part of the show. We don't have a huge advertising budget, but we really wanted to take advantage of every opportunity, all of the best new product awards and the different Louis Award submissions that we could participate in. Basically, we have one chance to make a first impression. Let's do this well, but on a budget too. So we really tried to kind of take a hold of every opportunity that we had at NSS. And it really opened some great doors. We were in a few, you know, an article for the New York Times, and we were able to get cards and some names of some bigger buyers. A lot of the big buyers don't place orders at the show. So you're right, to measure the success of the show based on the number of orders you have in your hands when you're on the plane flying home is really not a great way of measuring the success. Mm-hmm. And with Target, really rolled out over the course of, you know, 6 months and 8 months after the show. So
absolutely. And you won a Louis Award last year, which was huge. Was it?
Oh, that was exciting.
It's super exciting. It was fantastic. I was really excited for you. But yeah, I mean, the relationships you build and, you know, people meet a lot of sales reps at these shows too. But a lot of the success and a lot of the return, it is that long lead, like you talked about with Target taking 6 months. A lot of the press can sometimes take, you know, a long time like that too, if they're looking for holiday stories, for example, at a spring or summer show. So I don't know. I don't mean to get on my soapbox here about the benefits of things, but I think it's important for people that are listening and maybe considering doing a show, whether it's Stationery Show or New York Now or any other show to really look at the bigger picture of things and to look at the broader stroke of what opportunities it might bring to your business.
Absolutely. And a buyer of a small boutique may not be ready to place an order at the show, but they'll get your information. And, you know, a few months later or a few weeks later, they may place an order. And then there's also the aspect of reorders that happen after the show. You still have to do your, you know, continue reaching out to those retailers, but you also have reorders coming into play.
Yeah, I have a story about one retailer in particular. It was a small independent boutique. They came to my booth for 4 years straight before they purchased.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, it was a tough sell. but they became one of my, you know, a really great client afterwards. But my point in telling that story sometimes is just to say they want to know that you're serious about what you're doing. They want to know that you're going to keep developing your line and creating a new product. And they want to know that you're in it for the long haul too. So anyhow. Hang tight, people. I'm getting off on a tangent here, but let's talk about some transitions that you've experienced in your business. You know, like any small business, we're growing at different rates and we're pivoting at different times. What are a few times where you felt, you know, the need to shift or, you know, you had to work your way through something?
Well, I love to think about how like 4 years ago, I was pregnant with our second son, and Our studio was literally the changing table that I bought for him. We hadn't had him yet. And like, I had all of our products in like four big drawers, and like, I was packing orders right there in his little nursery and like handwriting a letter to each recipient of each package. And like, I would stand in line for half an hour every day at the post office so that I could, there were so many inefficiencies in the things that we did, but like, you know, just some transitional points. I mean, getting a scale and actually printing labels instead of hand, you know, they're little transitional points instead of hand.
But those are huge. Yes, they're little in that it's
$100 for a scale. But at the time, that was a big investment for us.
It's a huge investment, but it also, like you said, it's the efficiency factor. But those are things we all had to learn as we went.
Absolutely. You know? So learning to do things more efficiently. We finally grew to the point where we could hire a part-time person to help pack and ship orders that were coming through on Etsy. And that was really, huge for us to be able to kind of have those orders going out really, really quickly and efficiently so that I could focus on more business building tasks that we needed to do for the company and, you know, creating new products and nurturing the wholesale side of things too.
Lindsay, I love that you said that was your first hire, because I am talking to a lot of people recently who are kind of debating and trying to figure out what should they delegate and where should they hire first. And for product-based businesses, I truly feel like that whole fulfillment process, the packaging and shipping and all that stuff is a great place to start, because you don't necessarily have to have your hands on that, right? You could show somebody else how to do it.
Yeah. And, you know, as business has grown slowly for us, we've worked with an awesome team of offsite packaging people too. They're stay-at-home moms or people who just want to earn a little extra in their home. And so we, for a while now, we've had a little system where we'll send bins with supplies to them, and they can do it in the comfort of their own home and then send it back a week later. And there's a nice kind of rotation of new products that we have where they don't necessarily have to come into the studio to work, but they can do it from home. So that's been kind of a part of a transitional, growth for us too.
I love that though. That's creative hiring at its finest. How do you find those people? Are they word of mouth?
Yeah, they've been really great, and they really appreciate being able to do that, doing that from home. But for us, we just love being able to work with them. It can kind of ebb and flow depending on our needs. So we don't necessarily have to have them, coming in on a regular basis. But it's been, it's worked out well.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, other transitions, attending the stationery show was just really a big step for us, but really helped us kind of be more intentional about building the wholesale arm of our business.
You waited, so you did the show in 2016 for the first time, and you waited a year between launching to the wholesale market and then actually doing the show. Do you feel like that helped you in getting ready for the show? Like, do you feel like it gave you a bigger, better presence in 2016 when you did jump in?
Yes, absolutely. So we walked the show, we sat out a year to really kind of plan, and then we launched, we're at the show in 2016. So I'm a planner. I would rather do it well and than to do it kind of halfway. So for us, I feel like we were able to really go with have more of a presence at the show and just be more intentional about it. It takes a lot of work planning and preparing for a show. And so for us, it was the right move to wait an extra year.
Totally. Do you feel like now going into the 2017 show, your second show, has it been easier for you now that you've done it once?
Yes, after you've done that first catalog and a lot of the other tools, it's much easier. And we did New York Now a few months ago too. So
that's right.
So I feel a lot more confident going into things and just a lot more relaxed about the whole process too. So definitely once you get that first show under your belt, you're in good shape.
No, that's great. Are you doing three shows a year now? Because are you doing both New York Nows and stationery?
This year we just did the two, and so we'll just do one New York Now and one NSS.
That's nice. That's still a lot. That's still a lot for your small team to handle.
Yeah, it's good for us right now.
Good. Excellent. So what does success look like for you? I love talking to people about how they define things because we're all in different circumstances. But for you right now in your business, how do you define success?
That's a tough question because it really, it's personal and it really changes as our business changes. You know, I mean, doing what you love and having food in the fridge, like being able to do something that you're passionate about and also being able to, you know, have it as a source of income for your family is really rewarding. There are a lot of people who do things, you know, work honorably at a job day in and day out their whole lives and, you know, may not be have their whole hearts in it. But the fact that I'm able to do something that we love and work with some great people and support our family is really rewarding.
That's awesome.
And also the flexibility and freedom that having your own business offers. You know, I'm able to sit down and have a team meeting and then, you know, pop out so I can go and read to my son's class or paint faces at a class party. You know, so having that flexibility to me feels like, okay, this is success. You can yeah. choose the things that are important to you and really pursue those.
Do you have I love that. I feel the same way. I think the flexibility has made a huge impact on my quality of life, being able to be more with my family. I think though, as entrepreneurs, I have a hard time setting boundaries for myself. Sometimes I have a hard time saying, wait, I'm the one that can decide whether or not to move forward with this project. Do you ever have that? Like, do you ever feel like you're the one pushing yourself too hard?
Absolutely. Every day I'm my own worst enemy. I think there's always more work to be done. And you always think, okay, if I can just check these things off of my list, I'll feel like I've, you know, really accomplished something. But there's always going to be more work to be done. So I'm still working on that, actually, like just finding those boundaries and really, you know, respecting those. I think having business in your home is also a struggle. And we still have a home-based business. And, you know, we'd like to change that eventually. But that makes it even more difficult to respect those boundaries and just be able to walk away and be like, hey, this will be here tomorrow.
Yeah. What about self-care? What do you do to take care of yourself and make yourself kind of step away from the business side and even some of the family stuff and take care of you?
Again, I'm working on that.
I am too. So this is not a judgment thing.
I don't know. I really enjoy, you know, a little bike ride in the evening. I mean, now that spring is here, we enjoy just kind of getting out and doing something outside, playing basketball with my kids on the front driveway. But yeah, I think there's definitely always going to be balance to be found. You know, nurturing friendships too, that sometimes just stepping away and spending time with some close friends or going out for lunch with a friend and connecting is another way that I find I kind of take care of myself too. But definitely there's always more work to be done there.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I think as entrepreneurs and as a mom, I'm a mom too. Like, I feel like we put everybody else before ourselves and it's easy to put our head down and continue to just work or worry about family stuff that needs to happen. And so it's something I'm definitely working on as well, which is why I asked, more out of curiosity than anything else.
When you figure it out, let me know.
Oh, girl, I've been trying to figure it out. I will let you know what I stumble upon. But I really like what you said about getting outdoors. We've been having dinner a little bit earlier so that we can then take everybody, like our big kids go on scooter rides and our third goes on a trike and the baby's attached to one of us or in the stroller. But it's like we just get out and kind of cruise for a bit. And I think it clears everybody's heads and gets everybody wound down for bedtime. So my kids are still little, so it makes it a little easier too. But all right, putting our business hat back on, you know, what advice, you've had a lot of growth, you've had a lot of success, and you've done an amazing job of growing this business. And I know that you're still in the throes of growing it even further and making some tough decisions. But if you could go back and give yourself advice when you were starting out, what would you tell yourself or else somebody else that's starting a product-based business?
I think two things. One is just keep the big picture in mind. You know, one of the mistakes that we did make early on was just kind of making things in isolation instead of kind of looking at the big picture and asking those big questions of like, you know, what's our purpose? What's our brand's kind of mission? Who is our customer? And, you know, what's our aesthetic and really what defines us? And so I think, you know, kind of asking those questions even early on is really important because it can help kind of inspire your product and also just how you do your business. You know, what causes are you really passionate about too? And how can that, you know, come to life in your business and the causes that you support and things that you're a part of? And then build a brand that people can believe in and stand behind that's kind of built around those things. And then I guess the second thing is just, you know, having a great product is just the beginning, but making that customer experience really exceptional is what can kind of set you and your business apart. Letting your customers know that they're valued and heard and are loved, really. You know, working directly with customers, we look at every order as not a transaction, but like a person who's inviting us to be part of like a significant life event. And, you know, we work with brides-to-be and expectant parents and are part of some of those big announcements and things in their lives. And, you know, so it's really personal for us and for our customers. So, you know, we read and we personally respond to every customer review in our shop, you know, and as of this week, we've had, I think, like over 8,000 five-star customer reviews. And I'm only saying that because like each of those represents a person and an experience that they had with our brand. So, you know, how can you make that experience something where they, you know, leave feeling like their life is more full or more fulfilled in some way? You know, I'm reading a great book right now called Love Marks by Kevin Roberts. I think Chelsea from Sugar Paper recommended it at one point, and it's just a phenomenal book. It talks about how brands can move beyond just being commodities, but being loved and really trusted by their customers. And, you know, what's that intangible quality that makes us passionate about a brand? And so I'd recommend that book too, if you're looking for, you know, two bits of advice for starting, you know, starting your business. So keep the big picture in mind and love your customers.
Oh, I love that. How do you differentiate loving on your customers? You mentioned your retail customers and how you really want to become, you are becoming a part of their life events. What about for your wholesale customers? How do you make them feel extra special or loved on? Do you have anything there that you guys do?
Yeah, a few things that we do, obviously, and probably a lot of people do, is just putting a handwritten note in each wholesale order, thanking them for their order and, you know, giving them, telling them how much they're appreciated and kind of the unboxing experience of kind of making everything beautifully presented and showing them that you put the order together with care for them. But it's about relationships, and we're still looking at ways that we can nurture those relationships beyond just having that face-to-face time at the trade show. But, you know, putting a letter in the mail, or if you find out that they have a kid who's in school, you know, school-age child, you know, sending them a little product that you think their son or daughter might enjoy, like our lunchbox notes, for instance, you know, mm-hmm. So just kind of making it a little bit more personal for them. But that's definitely something that we're working on, and we're trying to think more creatively about how can we really love on our wholesale partners as well.
That's great. That's really fantastic. So what's next for you at Inklings Papery? What's next for your team?
Really studio space. We're kind of busting at the seams working in our home studio, and it's slowly been taking over our house. So currently we're looking for kind of a small studio with some warehouse space close to home where we can have more space to do what we do and kind of give us our house back. Nice. So that would be, and I feel like that will really help us be able to kind of, you know, not always be moving things around, but actually be able to be more intentional about how we use our space as a team. So that's kind of one goal for this year. And then just continuing to make connecting with customers a priority, you know, for us, just that's just kind of something we want to make sure we're continuing to do intentionally. And then we're excited to be going to NSS next month. So we're looking forward to that as well.
That's great. I'm excited to see you at NSS and all your new products. I missed it last year because of the baby, but now I'm back.
It's a good reason.
It is a good reason. It was fun. I was snuggling in the hospital with the baby, watching on Instagram all of you guys with your boots. It was fun. All right. Well, this has been really enlightening, Lindsay. I really appreciate your time. Where can people find you online? So give us your website and where they can find your products and also your social handles.
Inklingspapery.com. is where you can find us on our website, and Inklings Papery is our Instagram name too. So come check us out, follow us, and we'll follow you back. But
And I'll include that in the show notes too for anyone that's interested in following you there. Awesome. Again, thank you so much for joining me, Lindsay. This was awesome to hear your story. It was awesome to hear how you're running your business and you're growing. And thank you for your time.
Thanks, Katie.
Proof to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt. Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them uplevel, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at prooftoproduct.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.